Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead, text number 44. Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya Uvacha.
Etat te bihitam sarvam.
Etat te bihitam sarvam.
Yat prishtoham iha tvaya. Dhruvasyo dhamma yasasas. Samatam satam
Chaitam samatam satam
Maitreya Uvacha
Maitreya Uvacha
Etat te bihitam sarvam
Etat te bihitam sarvam
Yat prishtoham iha tvaya
Yat prishtoham iha tvaya
Dhruvasyo dhamma yasasas
Dhruvasyo dhamma yasasas
Charitam samatam satam
Charitam samatam satam
Maitreya Uvacha
Maitreya Uvacha
Etat te bihitam sarvam
Etat te bihitam sarvam
Yat prishtoham iha tvaya
Yat prishtoham iha tvaya
Dhruvasyo dhamma yasasas
Dhruvasyo dhamma yasasas
Charitam samatam satam
Charitam samatam satam
Cha Great sage Maitreya said, Etat, this, te, unto you, abhihitam, described, sarvam, everything, yat, what, prishta aham, I was asked, iha, here, Tvaya, by you, Dhruvasya, of Dhruva Maharaj, Uddhama, greatly uplifting, Yashasa, whose reputation, Charitam, character, Samatam, approved, Satam, by great devotees. The great sage Maitreya continued, My dear Vidura, whatever you have asked from me about the great reputation and character of Dhruva Maharaj, I have explained to you in all detail. Great saintly persons and devotees very much like to hear about Dhruva Maharaj. Purport, Srimad Bhagavatam means everything in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether we hear the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord, or we hear about the character, reputation and activities of his devotees, they are all one and the same. Neophyte devotees simply try to understand the pastimes of the Lord and are not very interested in hearing about the activities of his devotees. But such discrimination should not be indulged in by any real devotee. Sometimes, less intelligent men try to hear about the rasa dance of Krishna and do not take care to hear about other portions of Srimad Bhagavatam, which they completely avoid. There are professional Bhagavat reciters who abruptly go to the Rasalila chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam as if other portions of Srimad Bhagavatam were useless. This kind of discrimination and abrupt adoption of the Rasalila pastimes of the Lord is not approved by the Acharyas. A sincere devotee should read every chapter and every word of Srimad Bhagavatam, for the beginning verses describe that it is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literature. Devotees should not try to avoid even a word of Srimad Bhagavatam. The great sage Maitreya therefore affirmed herein that the Bhagavatam is samatam, satam, approved by great devotees. Om Gyanatimirandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Svapatantikam Mokam Karoti Vachalam Pangunam Ghayate Garim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So here it's explained why we are encouraged to inquire into and hear about the activities of the devotees. The devotees. And that reminded me of this verse. Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. So there are many types of worship recommended in the Vedas. Worship of the demigods. Even worship of the forefathers. So many types of worship. But of all the different types of worship, Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Topmost worship is the worship of the Lord Vishnu. However, Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samachanam. Above the worship of Lord Vishnu is the rendering of service to Vaishnavas, who are related to Lord Vishnu. So, one shouldn't neglect the study of the pastimes of the devotees. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam, whilst it talks about all of the different incarnations of the Lord, much of the Bhagavatam involves a study, pretty much, of the activities of the devotees. And Prabhupada says right in the beginning of the purport, Srimad Bhagavatam means everything in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, whilst we study the character of the Supreme Person, we also study the character of everything in relationship with the Supreme Person, which means we study everything, basically. The Srimad Bhagavatam is designed in such a way so that we are able to see the nature of the relationship. Sambandha, Jnana, three elements of knowledge. Right? And the basis is sambandha, or relationships. Then abhidhaya is the implementation of, or the development of those relationships, or how we, in understanding the relationships, how we use things in consideration of those relationships. Everything has a relationship with God. Isavasyam idam sarvam. Everything in the creation belongs to Krishna. So that's the relationship. We all belong to Krishna. And the activities are such that we should use those things in consideration of that relationship or those relationships. And the reason why the Bhagavatam focuses on the devotees is because they illustrate then how to do that. Right? And so that's why we study the Bhagavatam. Certainly the sum and bonum of the Bhagavatam is Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. But in order to appreciate those pastimes and see them in the right light, from the proper perspective, we need the introductory, or we need the steps, the stages of development of bhakti that's manifest in the heart of the devotees. There's the verse that Prabhupada, Mahajana Jena Gita Sapanta, that we follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajans. And in the beginning of that verse, it's a quotation from the Mahabharata. And I can't remember it. Something I have to learn. Remember? It's mentioned that the devotees are the emblems of the Shastra, of the Vedic literature. And so if we want to understand the purport of the Vedas, we can understand it by studying the behaviour of the great devotees. Right? This is we should study that, because one of the behaviours of the great devotees is that they also study the scripture. I said that doesn't mean that we don't study the scripture. In fact, it's recommended as part of, if we want to make progress in bhakti, right, then pramana, or the scripture is our evidence. But the scripture says, look at the devotees, right, look at the devotees. If you want to know the purpose of the Shastra and the conclusion of the Vedas, then yes, study the Vedas, but the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered, or Prabhupada says, Nigama Kalpa Toro Palit, what is it? Galitam? Phalam? It is the ripened fruit. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge, right? And so within the Bhagavatam, there's all these wonderful examples of bhakti illustrated, demonstrated by the devotees in all varieties of circumstances. Even we see, you know, some of the topmost devotees, they're actually born in a family of demons. Right? Huh? Or even they are demons. Look at Vritrasura. He was created just to harass the demigods. Huh? Yet he's a celebrated devotee. It's going, ooh, what's going on here? He's a demon. He's harassing the demigods. But actually he's not a demon. He's a devotee. He was sent to protest. He was there to test Indra. Right? One of his purposes. Challenge Indra. Of course, and Indra and the demigods, they were totally bewildered by the fact that they were being challenged by this devotee, actually. It was bewildering for them too. So, Prabhupada says here, everything in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam. So we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other bhakti shastra, if you like, to understand those relationships, sambandha, but also to understand how to apply an understanding of those relationships in a practical way in devotional service. And of course we see that with Dhruva Maharaj. And what happens when we hear these pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, then it's mentioned here, Udama. Udama. Yashasa. Dhruvasyo Dhamma Yashasa. When we hear the fame or the glories of the devotees, Dhruva in this case, then Udama, we are uplifted. And such, the study of the character of the devotees, charitam, just like Prabhupada says, charitamrita, means to understand the qualities, Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? The nectar of the qualities of the living entity, the dynamic force. And we see in the behaviour of the devotees dynamic action. You know, there's this notion that spiritual life means going to the forest and do nothing. Right? And then when people see the devotees very active and vigorous in their behaviours, in their activities, they mistake those activities for material activities. That's why we study the behaviour of the devotees, because we see his activity that is not material. Right? It is akarma, without reactions. Right? There are no material reactions for the behaviours of the devotees. There are spiritual reactions. This is very difficult for people to understand that. Ordinarily, karma or action means reaction. Action and reaction. For every activity, there's an equal and opposite reaction. There's the laws of physics, or the law of karma. Or what is it? As you do unto others, they will do unto you. Something like that. What is it? Atmavat sarvabhuteshu. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Did Prabhupada quote that verse from Chanakya. Prabhupada would also quote the verse about never trust a woman or a politician. He used to tease Jamuna. He would tease her. Then he would say, "What do you think about that?" she knew that Prabhupada was teasing her, so she would say, "Yes, whatever you say is correct." And Prabhupada would be satisfied with that, but then one occasion he said, "No," he said, "you are not a woman, you are a Vaishnava." Right? is why we study Prabhupada's life. We study Dhruva Maharaj, but we also study Srila Prabhupada, because we see, especially in Srila Prabhupada, we see the, and this is why we study the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and especially we should read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because we see the application of the Sankirtan, you know, the activities of Sankirtan in practice. Right? We see Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda and all of the devotees performing Sankirtan. And so that's activity. It's dynamic. Right? Devotees don't just sit around chanting Hare Krishna all day long. We might aspire to chant Hare Krishna. Actually, Rupa Goswami's instruction is we should chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. Right? We have difficulty sitting down for 2 hours chanting Hare Krishna. But, you know, we finish our rounds and we take our beads off and go, whew, whew, finally. But Rupa Goswami's instruction is chant 24 hours a day. This is why Srila Prabhupada is unique, because he recognized, although there are people who say, you know, we should all be chanting 64 rounds. You know, this is the actual standard. There are people who promote this. Chant 64 rounds. This is the standard. But Srila Prabhupada could see, he, and this is Prabhupada's uniqueness, in that he could see, my disciples are not going to chant 64 rounds a day. What to speak of 24 hours a day. And so therefore he set a minimum, 16 rounds. No less, but 16 rounds. So we see in the Chaitanya, we see in Srila Prabhupada's life the practical application. So the principles are maintained. This is the principle is always remember Krishna, never forget him. And Prabhupada could see it wasn't practical for the devotees to sit and chant all day. And in fact, that doesn't fit. In one sense, it doesn't fit with the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so we see that in the Leela pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We hardly find anybody who's sitting down just chanting Hare Krishna all day long. Lord Chaitanya's... Okay, Haridas Thakur. But what an example he is, because he's performing his sadhana and preaching. Right? Not just sitting down chanting Hare Krishna all day long, but chanting Hare Krishna more than we could hope to chant ever in our lives, but also his achara and prachara. This is what we learn. This is the essence. And so the devotee is very active. But the materialists think, ooh, what is this? This is not spiritual life. Mistaking the activities of the devotees or equating the activities of the devotees with their own mundane behavior, right? Equating the two. But they're not the same. It may look the same. The external features may appear the same. Right? We go out and we sell things. We open up restaurants and we sell more things. Some people might think, oh, material activity. Even sometimes the devotees think like that, because it's hard work. They go, oh, this is hard work. This must be material. Spiritual life is supposed to be easy. They told me, chant and be happy. And then what do? They just put me to work. I remember, I mentioned this the other day in class. Sundays are a day off, right, for everybody. And I joined the Hare Krishna movement, and Sundays was a harder day than any other day. Cornwall would better get up early, no sleeping in, right, and go to the morning program. Then in the kitchen, straight away with Cornwall, we'd be in the kitchen, cutting up and boiling and frying and whatever. And then we had to serve out the feast, right? Serve all of these people, all these lazy people who weren't chanting Hare Krishna and surrendering to Krishna, like I was. In fact, they had to feed us first. We had to be fed first, otherwise we would treat our guests so badly. But we shouldn't do that, obviously. We shouldn't. The devotees, we're showing a little bit of advancement when we understand that actually the Sunday feast is not for us, it's for the guests. But when I was a very young devotee, Sunday feast was for me. It was our release at the end of the week. But we see in the character of the devotees, it's dynamic. Chaitanya Charitamrita is a description of the dynamic character of devotional service, and it's akarma. It is not material activity. What we do as devotees, and why we study the life of Dhruva Maharaj, even though Dhruva Maharaj practice devotional service initially with a material motivation, right? He wanted a kingdom. He went to worship God to get a kingdom as better than his grandfather, wasn't it? Who's Lord Brahma. So that meant, Lord Brahma owned the whole universe, so that ultimately meant that he wanted the spiritual world, in one sense, right? So, even though a devotee may appear materially motivated, still, because of their bhakti or their application of the process of bhakti, they're still worshipable. And that's what Lord Shiva said to Parvati. The topmost worship is the worship of the devotees. Even a devotee who's materially motivated, we read about him in the Bhagavatam. Why? Because by the Divrena Bhakti Jogena, by that focus, devotional practice, he became a pure devotee. And of course, the glory of the bhakta is the application, or their application of bhakti, right? That's what we learn. We learn about, and this is what Maitreya has been explaining to Vidura by associating with, by hearing about, by studying the actions of the devotees. We learn about the process of bhakti, because bhakti is in the heart of a devotee. And in fact, practically speaking, if you want bhakti, you can only get it from the bhakta. It's very, very rare to receive bhakti from Krishna himself. Very rare. You don't, in fact, see it. Who is endowed with bhakti directly from Krishna in the Bhagavatam? Huh? Lord Brahma? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, he's unique. Who else? There is another example that I've forgotten in the Nectar of Devotion. But very rare. We get bhakti from the bhaktas, from the devotees. Even from not very elevated devotees. One can receive bhakti even from a person who is not very advanced. Many of the devotees that were preaching to me before I became a sadhaka, they were telling me, chant 16 rounds, follow the regulated principles, you know, go to the temple, become a devotee. And that's what I did. Then I discovered they weren't doing it. Hey, you guys told me to get up and go to Mangalarti, and you're not doing it. But I got the benefit of their good advice, because ultimately that advice comes from Prabhupada. So we can benefit from the association of almost any devotee. Of course, we discriminate also. One of the purposes, or one of the reasons for studying the character of the devotees, is to understand also that there are gradations. There are nuances, there are subtleties in the practice of bhakti. And that means then, understanding and appreciating all of the good qualities of the Vaishnavas, from the Kanishtha to the Uttama. A Kanishtha, a devotee can be a Kanishtha Adhikari but still be a pure devotee. A Kanishtha Adhikari doesn't necessarily mean that they're not pure. It means they're undeveloped, that's all. And the examples of Tapan Mishra and forgotten the other one. The devotees that lived in Banaras, Varanasi. Chandrasekhar. Yeah, and Prabhupada explains how they're examples of Kanishtha Adhikaris, because they heard the criticism of Lord Chaitanya, right? And they weren't able to defeat the arguments of the Mayavadi sannyasis, Prabodhananda Sarasvati, wasn't it? Prakashananda. And they were criticizing Lord Chaitanya. Oh, too much religious fervor, too much show of emotion. This is what people think when they see the devotees and they're chanting Hare Krishna. They think, oh, sentimental people. Too much religious fervor. Show off, right? Whereas spiritual life, again, this is materialistic people seeing devotees and measuring them from a material point of view. Religious fanatics. There's nothing worse than a religious fanatic. Right? With no substance. No real substance. But what Prakashananda Sarasvati and the other Mayavadi sannyasis didn't appreciate was, or at that point couldn't appreciate, and they were saying, you shouldn't be associating with sentimentalists. Right? You should be following the prescriptions given for sannyasis, which means study the Vedanta. Right? You should be studying more. You should be more serious about life. Without understanding that Sri Chaitanya was the greatest scholar. The devotees are the greatest scholars, actually. Pramanais, right? The basis of our activities is the Shastra, Pramana. If you want to make progress in spiritual life, then all of your activities, all of our activities, should be have some basis in Shastra. That's why we study, and that's why that quotation from the Mahabharata, Mahajana Yena Gita, we follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Because the previous acharyas, in our case, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Goswamis, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we follow, we study their lives in order to understand how to apply the principles of Shastra to action in daily life. But action in daily life as part of the Sankirtan movement established by Lord Chaitanya. That's why the Chaitanya Charitamrita is so important for the devotees to study, because we see, or we see the prototypes, or we see the archetypal relationships between the devotees in the context of the preaching mission, or in the context of the Sankirtan Yajna. That's we see the behaviour of the Goswamis, especially Rupa Goswami, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. We see the modern application of devotional principles that were modelled by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva and the Leela pastimes of Sri Chaitanya, then especially the six Goswamis, headed up by Rupa Goswami, because Rupa Goswami understood the mind of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Manovishnam. He understood what Lord Chaitanya wanted. Lord Chaitanya wanted the Sankirtan mission to be propagated widely, so that the holy name would be heard in every town and village. So more or less between the appearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Goswamis, with the exception of a number of stellar, you know, characters, by the time Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared, the Vaishnav culture had fallen into disarray and disrepute. Right? There wasn't any preaching. In fact, there was this imitation of the Babaji, you know, taking on the Babaji vesh, the dress of a Babaji. But Prabhupada said, you know, these Babajis in Vrindavan, they're all, you know, he said, don't associate with them, because they were not behaving properly. Which is, you know, illustrate, and when Prabhupada heard one of his disciples, oh, he's sitting under a, living under a tree, and he's chanting 64 rounds a day, and living like a Babaji, and Prabhupada just wasn't even impressed. He'd seen it all before. And he knew, just wait a little while and he'll get tired of it and he'll go away and do something else. That's why Prabhupada said, don't, you know, forget about chanting 64 rounds. Because if we try to chant 64 rounds every day, we'll just get bored, get tired of it and go and do something else. So Prabhupada, understanding that mentality of the devotees, he got them to do something else. Before they got tired of chanting, he engaged them in Sankirtan. Huh? And all the challenges that brings. But that engages that passionate nature, if you like, or that nature that we have to be active. It's natural for us to be active. And when active in preaching the Sankirtan Jagya, then we're following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, and we're following and fulfilling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. That's our business. But we shouldn't think, although, you know, it's Maya's trick to make us think these activities are material. You know, I should be doing something else. I should be doing something better. All right, okay, sit down and chant 24 hours a day. That's the better thing that you should be doing. But if you can't do that, okay, be active and preach. So we see that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. We see that in the pastimes of the six Goswamis, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, in a very unique way, but showing by his exception, he proves the rule. Right? Sometimes there are exceptions. We think, ooh, why are we studying the life of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji when he was a renunciate? He was able to chant 24 hours a day. Right? But he's the exception that proves the rule. Not to be imitated. So we study the lives of the devotees, not to imitate them, but to follow in their footsteps, which means understanding the principles and how to apply those principles appropriately according to Kala Desha Patra, according to our time, place and circumstance. That's why we study the lives of the devotees, and why the Bhagavatam focuses on the activities of the devotees, so that we can understand how to apply these principles of bhakti in our lives practically and see what we do from the spiritual perspective. As Prabhupada says here, you know, basically one shouldn't try to imitate advanced devotees. But we study their lives in a way so that we understand the principles. You know, following in the footsteps doesn't mean imitating. Following in the footsteps means understanding the principles of bhakti, then how to apply it. And this is considered real renunciation, right? The notion of renunciation is give up everything. But Rupa Goswami says no. You try to give up everything but still harbour desires within your heart to enjoy those things, then you'll be pushed, you'll be forced to act. Renunciation is not something that, it has to come about naturally. And so because we have that impetus to act, better to engage that instead of trying to give it up. This is why this notion of, oh, we give up everything and we don't do anything, it's spiritual life, and that those who are engaged in action and activity are not really spiritually advanced, is a misconception. So Rupa Goswami says that giving up things prematurely is not actual renunciation. But taking those things and using them in relationship to Krishna, in relationship to spiritual life, that's real renunciation. Understanding to whom everything belongs and then using it in his service. So that requires maturity. And that's why we look at the activities, we study the activities, why the Bhagavatam focuses. And we don't jump prematurely to studying, you know, the Rasa Shastra. Right? We can't understand it anyway. Right? We read it and we read the Rasa Leela or whatever, Krishna's intimate pastimes with the gopis, and what's going on here? We can't understand it. So we start from the beginning. That's basically Prabhupada's point here. We start at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And what does Prabhupada say? Interesting quotation from this purport. Devotees should not try to avoid even a word of Srimad Bhagavatam. Woohoo, that's a pretty far out, right? Read the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. Ooh, there's a challenge. Right? Put all of that in place. That's like, Prabhupada says here, a devotee should read every chapter and every word of the Srimad Bhagavatam. For the beginning verses describe that it is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literatures. So we should have no aversion to any section or portion of the Bhagavad Gita. Devotees should not try to avoid even a word of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So start from the beginning and work our way to the Samambanam. Don't jump over. And in the process, we will study many of the lives of the great devotees. And as a result, Uddhamma will be elevated, will be uplifted, right? Greatly uplifting. And Maitreya says here, Charitam Samatam Satam. This is recommended by all of the devotees, the great devotees. Study the lives of the devotees. So, you know, and that's why, you know, this year when I was teaching the disciple course, and then I was noticing that the devotees didn't really know Prabhupada. They hadn't read the Lilamrita, for example. I was scratching my head and I was thinking, you can't really be a member of ISKCON if you don't know Prabhupada's life intimately. You won't understand what we're doing. So that's why I made, it was a unilateral decision on my part. But, you know, I'm the person who's recommending devotees for initiation, so I think I can reserve that right to make sure that people who are going to be initiated at least have some training. Right? It's my service. So we added, read the Lilamrita and also do the Founder Acharya course, because then people get a bit of an idea, not a bit of an idea, they get quite a solid understanding of who Prabhupada is and what ISKCON is then as a result. What, you know, Prabhupada sacrifice so much for us, right? And if we don't have an appreciation of that, we can take things for granted or not understand that, you know, spiritual life is not just about me, right? Spiritual life is about service and service to others, and that service, that higher service, is to preach. And also to understand that, you know, even cleaning the courtyard looks like a pretty mundane kind of activity. But Prabhupada makes a point, you know, that service is as good as the service of the pujari who's, you know, addressing the deity. So we need to understand the importance of all of the services that we perform, because ultimately it makes for the success of the Sankirtan mission. Right? Even if it's just making beds for guests. Right? What a mundane activity. Ooh, can't we get somebody else to do this? Huh? Wash the pots. I think he's out there washing the pots now. Huh? Hard work. Not terribly inspiring. Not true. I remember very often having worked all day, Ajahn Chakra can relate to this. He worked hard all day, gone to the morning program, done Sankirtan or whatever it is, and then at 6 o'clock at night, the kitchen cleanup man didn't turn up. Right, so they go, oh no, gotta go clean the kitchen. But I discovered if you approached it enthusiastically with determination and patience, highly recommended. Every football coach tells his team, this is what you've got to have, right? Confirmed by Rupa Goswami. But then if you got stuck into it, then by the end of the 3 hours of cleaning the kitchen, you were ecstatic. You felt so purified from that activity. Huh? Just so enthused. Whoa, okay, why was I worried about the kitchen cleanup? Why was I on the mental platform about doing some service? Basically because I was lazy. And I was thinking, oh no, kitchen cleanup, material activity. Instead, oh, here's an opportunity to serve Krishna. Once I got onto that platform, then everything was easy. And I was inspired. So it's interesting, isn't it? You know, it looks like it's a totally mundane activity. Right? When you think about it, cleaning, anything is pretty mundane. And it's routine, routine boredom. Isn't it? Routine boredom. Where's the excitement in vacuuming floors? But if we do it with the right mentality, it can be enthusing and inspiring. And you know, the impact that that has on people. Yesterday I met a friend of mine, Rajiv. I've forgotten what he's from Jalandhar. And he does all sorts of things now. But he makes cricket bats and hockey sticks and footballs and cricket balls. And he's a businessman, basically. And so when he came here to Melbourne, he was 25 years ago. He's now 50. And he became a life member. Somebody signed him up as a life member back when he was a young man. Right? And so and he came and stayed here. Every year he would come and visit Melbourne. And still is. Because now he's staying in a posh hotel. But he still comes to the temple. I met him yesterday after so many years. And, you know, he was telling me how much he appreciates ISKCON. He said, I don't give donations to anybody else. I only give it to ISKCON because I know where my money's going. Right? He said, these other people, you give them money, you don't know where it's going. And you know, it's interesting because he came as a young man when his business was just starting. Now he's making things for Slazenger and Adidas, and you know, he's got quite a big business and making other things. Now he's branched out into clothing, and so he's pretty much a fairly straightforward example of an Indian businessman. Right? Hard work, got out there and spruiked his wares and established quite a sizable business for himself. But because he was staying in the temple, then you know he was affected. He was a meat eater before. I think he told me about 15 years ago he became a vegetarian. Right? So here's a man who's, you know, started off fairly materialistically, right? His life membership, free accommodation all around the world, so when he's on his business trips he can go and stay at the Hare Krishna temples for nothing. Right? But that has such a huge impact on his life. So, you know, such a mundane thing as making his beds for him and stuff before, you know, making our temple facility clean and presentable, that has an impact on people. Right? Has a big impact. Changes people's lives, actually. You know, we see that after 20 or 30 or 40 years of cultivation, we're seeing people change. We're changing ourselves. So we should never think what we're doing is material, even though it looks mundane, or it, you know, we experience it as mundane. It is not. It is purely spiritual activity, and especially when we do it in the right consciousness. So that's why sadhana bhakti is an integral, is the basis actually for having the right perspective, studying the lives of the devotees and appreciating their activities and how those actions will impact on others, will change their lives. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? Breakfast time, eh? No mundane activities around here. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.